This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overduin.
Continuing in our series on the last book of the Bible, we come now to Revelation chapter 6. Following chapters 4 and 5 about the great God, also in the person of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, on the throne above all, no matter what happens and regardless of future, we are now shown in chapter 6 the opening of the first six seals. These first six seals really describe for us three main pictures in regards to the time period between Christ's first and second coming. In other words, our time period as well. We are shown what you might call a truthfully somber picture, verses 1 to 8, followed by a triumphantly safe picture, verses 9 to 11, and then we are given a terribly frightening picture, verses 12 to 17. For this time, we will just be looking at the first picture, and next time, the last two. For the first picture, the truthfully somber picture, think of a postcard with four frames on it. You have seen those kinds of postcards, no doubt, where the one card might have four different flowers on it, representing some gardens, or four different birds, or animals, or sections of a town, etc. In this case, in Revelation 6, we are given, as it were, a postcard picture with four frames having four different colored horses on it. There is a white horse, and a red horse, and a black horse, and also a pale, sickly, yellow-green horse. In each case, also, there is a rider on the horse as well. In all cases, these horses of the first four seals represent and picture some trouble to us, some judgment from God on this world. We think of horses today mostly for relaxation and riding and sport, but in the days of John, horses represented more warfare and battles. Let us take a closer look at these four horses and the solemn truth God would have us learn from them and the four horsemen. What is all this symbolizing to us? We are told in verse 1, the opening of the seals by the Lamb was accompanied with, as it were, a noise of thunder, suggesting thereby that the opening of these seals speaks of troubles and fearful judgments. With the opening of the first four seals, in each case, one of the beasts, better translated, as I said before, one of the four living creatures, and referring to the greatest of God's angelic hosts, would say, "Come and see." With each seal being opened of the first four, "Come and see," the invitation is made to John, but obviously also each horse and rider is called forward by God's commission and command. And it is all for the world to see and take notice now. This first horse is white, a color suggesting victory and success in battle. We are told the horseman has a bow, from which presumably he shoots his arrows, and notice a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. What is this horse and horseman supposed to represent? I used to think, along with others, that here we are given a picture of Christ going out with great gospel power and success, especially also in view of chapter 19, where a clear reference to Christ on a white horse, conquering over all, is surely given. Yet in this passage in Revelation 6, there are compelling reasons not to interpret this white horse and its horsemen as referring to Christ here. Commentators are divided on the matter, but consider here the alternate viewpoint, also with good textual defense. This first horse, the white one with his rider, can be well interpreted in its context as referring not to Christ, but referring to Christ and the church's arch enemy, Satan himself, going about with deceitful powers, blinding and dulling the minds and hearts of many people to the truth of God and the only gospel. The first horse and horseman, seemingly so successful, is likely representing for us mankind in sinful self-confidence, captured and ensnared under Satan's sway, and mankind thus living in proud, delusive peace. How many are thus taken in, also in our day? As one commentator put it, Satan often mimics Christ. The devil, by way of prosperity and progress and worldly pleasures and treasures, promotes a false security and peace, and how many are foolishly taken in by his lies and deceits. Is it not correct to describe much of this world as blinded by sin and Satan, being led on to destruction by what Paul describes in 2 Thessalonians 2, all deceivableness of unrighteousness, or just sly, unrighteous deception, you might say? The Lord is stating here with the opening of the seals what the church can expect till the last day in every age, and among other things, there is this fearful danger and constant threat, the devil working as an angel of light, coming up with so many man-made and false solutions to all the world's ills. Paul warns about this very thing in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 and 14, speaking in fact of the devil acting even as an angel of light. This white horse and its horsemen, interpreted in this way, is going about in our age, conquering and to conquer very much. And how you and I should beware and be discerning of the spirits of the age. Think here of John's warning in 1 John 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Watch out for the galloping, conquering white horse and horsemen in our times, dear friends. We move to the second seal and look at the red horse with a horseman on it who has a great sword and whose purpose is to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. It is not hard to identify this red horse as picturing for us the horror of war and violence and strife by which all too many are killed in the history of the world. Tragically, in the last century, more have been slain in war and violence between peoples than in all the centuries before, even. The red horse represents so much bloodshed on account of lawlessness flowing from mankind's sinful, destructive nature as fallen people. The sword referred to here was the weapon used by assassins for murders and with religious persecutions. It is described here as a great sword to tell of the extent of this evil, with the red horse and its horsemen promoting so much violence and brutality and murder and killing. The people in John's day, living in the ruthless and restless Roman Empire, could well identify with this second seal. And can we not identify with it in our times very much as well? Thinking even besides war of abortions and murders and suicide attacks, etc. What a brutal time we live in, even in our developed 21st century. We move to the third seal being opened, and we then see a black horse, and he who sat on it having a pair of scales or balances in his hand. The scale is used for measuring amounts of food produce, like barley and wheat and other things, and we are told about a small measurement of food grains selling for a certain amount that reflected at least an average daily wage in John's time. This black horse and its horsemen represent a time of famine and food shortages and inequalities, where basic staples are measured out at greatly inflated prices. The text seems to bring out a vast difference in the prices between basic food items like barley and wheat as being so very costly, and other more luxury items such as oil and wine not affected the same way. What may well be the intention here is to bring out that inequalities between the rich and poor will be such a sober reality. As one put it, the necessities of life for the poor will be in short supply, while the luxuries of the rich will not cease. Is not our world also in our times in this very situation, with some areas in such poverty and famine-like conditions, and other areas in such prosperity and plenty, at least relatively speaking? The black horse represents famine and great needs suffered by many, while others live in such wealth. This will be the case till the end of the age. How many Christians in John's time were suffering and barely being able to provide for their daily needs? Then there is yet the fourth seal with the pale, literally yellowish-green horse, the color of a corpse. Its rider's name is Death, and we are told Hell, literally Hades, meaning here the domain of the dead or the place of the grave, accompanies this horseman. His horse and horsemen plainly represents the evil of death and foretells the death of many by way of violence, famine, calamity, and plague. Interestingly, the death by the beasts of the earth is interpreted by some to mean by way of rats or such like rodents, meaning some sickness unto death through plagues of one sort or another that spread also by way of the animals and birds and fish of our planet. We live in times where we know there is great concern for this happening, and the least sign of something wrong in dairy animals or with the poultry or fish can close down and shut down whole farms and industries and trading agreements just like that. Think of mad cow disease, and how about the bird flu disease and others like it. In the late Middle Ages there was that rat-carrying disease and outbreak, the so-called bubonic plague, that wiped out one quarter to one third of Europe's population at that time. When there is war and famine and disease and lawlessness, who knows what sickness and plague might be spread? There's also careful laws calling for care in society are no longer held to or observed as they should be. The text warns in verse 8 that the pale horse with rider death has power to kill over a fourth of the earth. In our world of 6 billion plus, that would mean 1.5 to 2 billion people could meet with death through one calamity or another. Seeing this fourfold horse picture, do you agree with me? Here we have a truthfully solemn picture shown to us by God, indeed, by the Lamb on the throne, Christ Jesus himself. Jesus tells us here about an evil quartet that brings troubles and death and woe in different ways. And don't we see these four horses galloping forth throughout the ages in John's day and since then? How true what one commentator wrote, history, no matter what century, is a story of assaults on life, land, and body. History from John's time until now has been about conquest, war, famine, and death. John's prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Yes, it is important that we see this, friends, and so I have also called this first picture a truthfully somber picture. As you look at it now with me, we need to notice how this is all in God's hands and a part of the fulfilling of His ultimate plans for the coming of His perfect eternal kingdom. Nothing happens outside God's permission and overruling, guiding hand. To be sure, never is the Lord the author of sin, but He is in full control of whatever sinful man does and will do. This picture of the four horses tells us that terrible times can be expected before Christ returns. But at no time is God and Christ with Him not on the throne above all thrones. Again and again in the book of Revelation, the Lord would remind His people of this glorious truth. Looking at this truthfully somber picture should certainly cause us to be sober-minded, that is, spiritually watchful and diligent, ever so careful and prayerful in our times. Doesn't God's Word also exhort us in this way again and again? Are you living, giving testimony of your awareness and alertness of God's kingdom coming, also in and with all that happens in our world today? The book of Revelation will bring out in the chapters to come about the steady increase of the activity of the four horses and their riders, as mentioned here. Wise people remember the four horses of Revelation 6 and see it as part of the birth pangs towards the eternal world to come. Are you wise in this way? Are you thus, as Paul says in Ephesians 6:11, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul also warns about so many perishing forever in their sins and under God's eternal punishment because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Oh, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, before the door of grace and mercy is forever shut with the last judgment and Christ's return on the clouds of heaven. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. Postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.